Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we hear the Lord Jesus say two things to the church that we desperately need to hear today. We hear Jesus say, cast your nets, and we hear Jesus say, do not be afraid. These are two things that the church today needs to hear more than anything else. Simon Peter had been skunked. He'd been up all night fishing with his partners, fishing all night long, and had caught nothing. And so he was no doubt disappointed. He was discouraged. All of that worked for naught. It wasn't always that way. Peter had become a pretty prosperous fisherman. He had multiple boats and partners in his little fishing business. He knew that water. He knew how to catch fish, and most times he did. But that night he caught nothing. That morning, Jesus borrowed one of his boats and used it as a perch from which to teach, probably provided a nice little amphitheater with his voice echoing off the water as he taught the people who had been pressing in on him. And when Jesus was done teaching, he said to Simon Peter, cast your nets. Put out into the deep water, Jesus told him, and let down your nets for a catch. Peter was reluctant. He was still stinging from the night before. He had his doubts as to whether he would catch any more fish. You can kind of hear it in his voice. He says, Master, we worked all night long and caught nothing. Yet, because you have said so, Simon Peter says, because he trusted Jesus, because he was willing to obey his word, he did what Jesus said, in spite of what he'd experienced before. Yet you have said so, and so I will cast my nets. So Peter did indeed put his nets back into the water. He went down into the deep water, and he brought up an enormous catch of fish. So many fish that two boats had to come and haul it in, and even then they were being swamped. It was so many fish. Cast your nets, Jesus had told him. Cast your nets, Jesus had said. And in spite of everything that he'd experienced before, Peter obeyed. Peter trusted in the word of Jesus, and his trust proved to be well placed. There are a lot of Christians, I believe, both here at Oak Harbor Lutheran Church and across the church as a whole, who need to hear these words, who need to hear this story. Because there are a lot of Christians here at Oak Harbor Lutheran and across the church who are discouraged and disappointed, because we don't seem to be catching fish like we used to. I talk to ministry teams here in our congregation just about every week who are struggling and frustrated. They can't get the volunteers they need to continue to do the ministries that they do. They cast their nets. They put out the help wanted in the opportunity forms, in the connection cards, and those nets almost always come back empty. We have Sunday school teachers who work all night long, maybe, or at least they work into the evenings, getting their lesson plans ready, and they come and their Sunday school rooms are not as full as they would like to see. We have choirs that rehearse during the week and put all kinds of time into their special music, and a lot of times they're looking out at a half-empty sanctuary. We, as individuals, we send out our invitations. Come and see. Come check out our church. We put out those invitations, and oftentimes they are unheeded. We go to our friends. We go to our relatives, and we share our faith with them. We try to encourage faith in them. We share our faith. We witness to Christ Jesus and try to stir up faith in them, and oftentimes it seems to get us nowhere. We know what Peter experienced. Sometimes it feels like we're being skunked. The church today is struggling. There's no doubt about it. And there's a lot of different factors at work. It's not just one thing. There's a lot of different factors at work in why this is so. For one, we're up against some dramatically changing demographics across our country. We are up against a dramatically changing culture. The culture has changed so much just since I was ordained in the year 2000. Things have changed so dramatically, culturally speaking. There are so many different things now that are competing for people's time and energy and attention. And then not only that, but I've shared statistics with council and I think with the rest of the congregation in sermons before, the statistics that are showing that the active Christians, people who are active participants in the life of a church, their definition of what it means to be an active participant has changed just in the last couple of decades. A couple of decades ago, surveys said that an active member of a congregation was in the church building 3 times a week. For Bible study, for a meeting maybe, and then of course for worship. Today, you survey people who are active in the life of a congregation, they say that someone who's in the church building once a month considers themselves a pretty active member. I'm not trying to point anybody out. I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody here this morning. I'm just explaining how perceptions have changed as to what it means to be an active member of a congregation. This is happening across the church. And this is why you can have pretty regular overall membership numbers, and our membership numbers have stayed pretty static, and why you can maintain your budget pretty well over the years, even as it creeps up with cost of living expenses. That's why those things can stay stable while things like worship attendance seem to be sliding, sliding, sliding. These are the factors that are at work here. And all of this leads us sometimes to be disappointed. Sometimes it leads us to be discouraged. But we take our cues from Jesus and not from our circumstances. Right? Can we accept that? Jesus calls us again and again, no matter what the circumstances might be, Jesus calls us again and again to be about his work. The Great Commission gives the church clear instructions, gives us clear instructions as to what we're to be about. We are to be making disciples. We are to be baptizing. We are to be teaching people to obey Christ's word. We are to be witnesses. We are to be out there casting our nets. And you know what? Sometimes when we cast those nets, Christ Jesus surprises us with a big catch. I've been surprised this past program year with a big catch right here at Oak Harbor Lutheran Church. At the beginning of the program year, I decided we'd try to have a Tuesday evening Bible study. You see, last summer I read a book called Built on the Rock. It's a book about vibrant congregations and a study that was done on what makes congregations vibrant. And one of the important factors was that most of the congregation, in vibrant congregations, most of the people in the congregation are involved in a Bible study. Most members come not only for worship, but they also are actively involved in a Bible study. So I read that book, was convinced by it, and I started to look around and I realized that too many of our people are not actively involved in a Bible study. So maybe I'll expand the opportunities for this by trying a Tuesday night Bible study. I had my reservations. I had my doubts. I've tried to start new things before, and I've been skunked many, many times. So for the first class, when we tried the very first class that we had for the Tuesday night Bible study, I will confess to you, I made 6 copies of the handout. That's how many people I thought were going to be there. So imagine my surprise when we had 30 people in the church library on a Tuesday night. Now, not all of those 30 people have stuck with it 6 months later, but many, many of them have. So you see what happens when we cast our nets. You see what happens when we take a chance. You see what happens when we put out into the deep water, when we trust the word and the call of our Lord Jesus. Sometimes we're surprised with a big catch. Something similar happened this year with getting ready to send our kids to the Quake Youth Ministry event coming up. I knew that we'd go, but I thought, because some people who had been active in the past had moved away, and I'm sure we'd go, but I thought we'd have a pretty small group this year. But I cast a wide net in the sense that I invited everybody. I sent email blasts out to everybody who was in the right age category to go to Quake. And I kept getting these messages back. Yeah, we're going to go. Yeah, we're in. Yeah, we want to go. Until I had 14 people, 14 kids committed to going, our biggest group yet. Then I started to do the math as to how much all this was going to cost. And with all 14 people, that adds more adult chaperones needed. It means more rooms needed. And I realized we need $4,000 to send these people to Quake. And I was nervous. I had my reservations once again. I was really worried about asking Rakan to send a check for $4,000 to Quake when we hadn't even started to do any fundraising for it at all. But I started to cast some nets around the congregation, certain corners of the congregation. And in no time, we had two-thirds of the money donated. Before we've done any official public fundraising, two-thirds of that money had already been donated. I really hesitated whether I should put that in the sermon today or not, because we still have some fundraising. We still need your help, so I still hope that you'll help us. But again, there was an unexpected catch just by casting the net. Huh? Now, we shouldn't only focus on numbers, whether it's money or butts in the pew. That's not the only gauge. It's not the only measure of a successful ministry. There's a lot of good ministry that happens, a lot of valuable ministry that happens just below the surface, in the deep water, things that you can't always see, but are really, really important, really vital gospel ministry happening. But we also shouldn't be so discouraged and disappointed with the challenges of our time that we are discouraged from casting our nets, that we get discouraged from trying. We are called to cast those nets. And when we obey Jesus' call to do this, sometimes he surprises us with something big. When Simon Peter saw the big catch that he had been given, he was overwhelmed by it. He fell to his knees. He knew that Jesus was much more than just a teacher. That was obvious at this point. And so if you notice in the language of the gospel reading, Simon Peter goes from calling Jesus master to calling him Lord. Simon Peter's had an epiphany now. He knows who Jesus is. And once he realizes who Jesus is, he thinks that he shouldn't be in Jesus' presence. Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. But then Jesus says his next important thing that we need to hear too. He says to him, do not be afraid. In light of Jesus' power, in light of his majesty now on display, now manifested in this miraculous catch of fish, all of Peter's sin, all of his inadequacies, all of his failures, all of his foolish doubts were laid bare at Jesus' feet. And Simon Peter thought this all disqualified him as a disciple. But Jesus gave him a word that was both forgiving and empowering. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Jesus wouldn't let Simon Peter's sin get in the way of his calling. He wouldn't let his sin get in the way of his mission. It's often said, maybe you've heard it before, I love this saying, that Jesus doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's what he's doing here. And you know what? That's what he's doing for you, too. Your sin does not disqualify you from this mission that Jesus gives to us. Do not be afraid. Now you will be catching people. Like Peter, we've experienced our own discouragements in ministry and in life. We've experienced our own disappointments. There have been times when we've been skunked, and sometimes this leads us to want to give up on fishing altogether. We've worked all night and nothing has worked. Like Peter, our lives are plagued by sin and by failures and by our foolish doubts, and we think sometimes that this disqualifies us both from Jesus' presence, and that it disqualifies us from participation in his mission. Go away from us, Lord. We're a sinful people. Both collectively and individually, as individual Christians, we have a lot in common with Simon Peter. And so I can't think of anything we need to hear more today from our Lord Jesus than what Jesus said to him. Cast your nets. And don't be afraid. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want you to stand as you're able as we sing.